it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
I'm Vaughan Bennison. Welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. Today we continue with part two of the presentation by Jason Baker at the recent Coffs Harbour Convention. We join the presentation now with a question from the audience.
I'm just interested in hearing about some of the navigational techniques you use when you're out in the paddock in a big wide open space where there's not a lot of landmarks. As a cane user myself, I find that really difficult, and I was wondering whether you use GPS technology or whatever to find your way back to the house or the shed or whatever it might be.
No, I use nothing at all on the farm. I don't use my cane, don't use GPS, don't use a mini guide, anything. I've got everything set in my mind where absolutely everything is. And on a bright sunny day, I can get around no worries at all, because there are certain landmarks, there's tree lines, and I can quite easily see the contrast between laneways, which are like, you know, your brown sort of dirt colour and the green grass. I do a lot of riding around on a quad bike. On the farm itself, I'll probably do 2,000 or 3,000 kilometres a year myself riding around on the quad bike. Or one of my tasks is moving all the livestock, because I've got the rotation for...
I bet they move real quick.
They're dairy cows, they've got to walk slowly.
Yeah. Nobody goes anything over 5 kilometres an hour behind the cows. It's one of the rules we have. Yeah, like I said, a couple of thousand kilometres a year myself, just riding around on the bike. I do a lot of the moving of the stock and the setting of the paddock rotation. So I actually go into the paddocks, pop off the bike and sort of feel, for the want of a better way, how much grass is there. And, you know, set in my own mind, because we also feed on a feedlot type thing. So the cows get half of their intake a day off pasture and the other half on the concrete feed pad. So I've got to know how much grass is there, how many cows are going in there, how much grass they're going to get harvest off that paddock, and then be able to balance the rest of their daily intake on the feed pad. So tell the tractor drivers how much of that particular feed they need to put into the mixer wagon, and how much of that and how much of that, and then actually go through and write out a ration. We have consultants for that. They tell us what we need to feed in what rates, but I've got to go through and rewrite the ration for the guys in the tractor so that they know exactly what weights of stuff to put in. So that in itself is a bit of a challenge, but I obviously don't move very fast on the farm, but I know where everything is, and everybody keeps everything put away so that I don't run into stuff, which I have done in the past, and people have been spoken to about it, so it was pretty clear on that. What a normal sighted person would achieve in from 6 o'clock in the morning till about 10 or 11 in through the day, that takes me all day to achieve it, but I keep going all day to ensure that I get that done. And a lot of my role I wouldn't say administrative, but it's making sure that there's enough feed everywhere, and that, you know, certain things have got to happen at certain times, and Michelle and I organise that so that it happens. So everybody else does, the staff that we have do the bulk of the hard stuff, the hard work, and just this time of the year now, I go back into the dairy and probably spend, 30 hours a week in the dairy putting cups on cows as a... You know, then we just change staff duties around to make the rest of the staff change their week around a bit, just to brush it up for them, to so they're not doing the same job day in, day out, and get sick of it, and we eliminate the risk of people not putting in 100%, and you know, the attention to detail is one of the key things that we have.
It sounds like you use the vision that you've got to its maximum, but it strikes me that it still must take you a lot of concentration to get through a day's work on the farm. Is that the case, and how do you manage that stress?
You are right. It is a particularly stressful thing, and at different times of the year when the workload now is not too bad. It's pretty good now. But we carve 400 cows in about 10 weeks through autumn, so that's a really hectic time. And with, you know, 10, 15 different things going on, that is particularly stressful. The way that I de-stress is to trek. I go up in the mountain and walk through the mountains. Because I don't, you still got to concentrate really hard, but it's something completely different. There's not, you know, you're not sitting somewhere or listening to a book or something. You're not listening to the book. Your mind's still racing about what's got to happen on the farm. Whereas you, when you're up in the mountain trekking, you've got to concentrate on what you're doing, or you'll go A over T quite readily. And that's just what I do to alleviate a lot of the stress. And I drink rum.
Hi, Jason. With the National Disability Insurance Scheme coming out over the next year or so, is that something that you think will be able to assist you with making things a bit easier for you on your farm and in your work and that sort of stuff? Have you given any thought to that?
There's a lot of automation that we can apply within our industry to make tasks easier. Like there's robotic milkers and all that sort of stuff. But obviously that's a major decision. There's, you know, for a herd our size, there's probably $750,000 worth of infrastructure changes to implement that. So, and as for anything else, there's a lot of the office work. It could help. There's just a certain stuff that I use now in the office to aid in that. But as far as the physical work outside, you're never really going to alleviate a great deal of that by any other means than being physical. There's new technologies coming out now. We're actually just investigating now the use of drones to fly over the farm to map different areas of the farm, bless you, to look at where we have nutrient deficiencies or nutrient abundances in pastures and certain soil types and so forth, so we can map that, which will it won't necessarily make farming that much easier, but it'll in years to come, when there's going to be a much heavier focus on farms, as in greenhouse gas emissions from cattle and nutrient runoff, we're going to be able to say that we can actually we're at the forefront of looking at this sort of stuff, because we're not putting on so much fertilizer in certain areas because there's actually a build up in the soil. So we'll change the practice that we do just to suit what the drone is telling us from the pictures that it takes with near-infrared camera. That's very new technology. That'll help. I don't know how that's going to fit in with the disability scheme. I don't think I'd love somebody to buy me a $5,000 drone. That'd be great.
What's your next big challenge? What are you going to tackle? You know, Kokoda, Istanbul, Gallipoli. What's next?
I've got a little walk next year in the Gold Coast. There's a 48-kilometre endurance event in the Gold Coast. I've done two of them in the last 2 years. I've got a team. I'm going to put a team in for next year. It's your 48-kilometre event. You start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you keep walking until you're finished. Like, it's up and down. We normally finish just coming daylight the next morning. But I'll enter into that again next year. And there's my eldest daughter. She's pretty keen. There's a walk just here along the coast here. It's called the Yirrigee Walk. And it's 65 kilometres along the coast here. The girls want to have a look at doing that. I'd like to do, there's one walk in, it starts at Innaminka at the Dig Tree and goes from the Dig Tree to Birdsville. It's 350 kilometres through the Simpson Desert. I'd like to have a crack at that. How far I get, I don't know, but we'll keep training, see how we go. But no, that's you know, what I'm thinking. I mean, There's thousands and thousands of walking tracks around. I mean,
how long does it take to train your sighted guides?
Now it doesn't take very long at all, because we've got it down pat. Before, when we were working, before we went to, we first went to New Guinea in 2011, my brother-in-law and I were working for probably 5 or 6 months, trying different stuff, and when we finally hit on it, it's just, it was very, very simple and very, very effective. But now, with a couple of daughters, they're trained. They know exactly what they're doing. They're fantastic. Well, all of them do. They're fantastic. And if I know I've got a big event coming up, like a 50, 60, 80K event coming up, we'll look at, like, these Kokoda challenges. They have 15-kilometre events. So if there's somebody going to go in the bigger event with me and they're not a trained sighted guide, we'll put a team into the 15-kilometre events, and I'll take one of the girls with me, and they can train this other person as a sighted guide while we're doing this 15-kilometre walk.
Jason, one of the things that I've learned over the years is the value of learning from other people who are blind and vision impaired about the skills, the tips and tricks, and it's probably one of the key reasons that I continue to be an active member of organisations like Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales. Mm-hmm. What learning did you... what tips or tricks did you get from other people who are blind or vision impaired in terms of continuing your life as a dairy farmer whilst you, as you lost your sight?
in relation to dairying, it's to draw a very long bow. I mean, you get inspiration from people in the just the little things that they say, and you can recalculate it and rejig it in your own mind to suit yourself, obviously. But just talking to blind and visually impaired people, as I was gradually losing my sight, like I had met nobody else with RP until I was 38. So I'd diagnosed at 25 and knew nobody else that had the condition at all. You know, obviously I thought I was the only person in the world with it until I was 38. Just coming in contact with other visually impaired people through guide dogs and stuff and meetings and so forth that they have is just the way people say things that they do and the way that they combat their vision loss. You can just, I can automatically just think of myself in that situation or put what their words into my situation and think, well, you know, I can use that to help me through the day-to-day sort of stuff. And you can draw inspiration from anybody. If they've just, somebody's got something positive to say, you can just turn it straight on. It's really good.
You've got RP, so can you go totally blind at night?
Yeah.
So how do you follow your ankle guard at night?
When I was walking this year, and one of the challenges up here on the Gold Coast, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and another team passed us, and one of the blokes said to me, he said, "Jesus, mate," he said, you've got an aircraft spotlight on your head." I look at it and I think, really? Is it really? You know, put your hand up in front of them, is it really that bright? And everyone's telling me how bright it is, but I just sort of think, oh, okay, I'm only just able to see with that. But yeah, a very strong set of A-Up headlights. They are a brand called A-Up. They're exceptional. They carry about 4 batteries because their batteries only last about 3 hours. When I'm milking, I have those bright headlights on, so it just illuminates the back of the cow, so I can see basically where the cow is, and I can. The rest of it's just all feel. You gotta love Braille.
And that was a presentation by Jason Baker at the recent New South Wales convention held in Coffs Harbour in October this year. While we're on the subject of conventions and forums, let me remind you that the Hobart Forum is coming up this Saturday, the 5th of November at 2 o'clock. And if you're in Tasmania and would like to attend, by all means contact BCA and register for that forum. The Melbourne Forum's coming up on the 12th of November, and that will be held in the city. Once again, contact BCA if you're interested in attending that one. I've been asked to let you know that on the 19th of November will be held the Women's Branch AGM. Now, the Women's Branch is doing really interesting things at the moment, and if you'd like to find out more about what they're doing, then you can join that via teleconference on the 19th. Once again, contact the BCA head office for more information by emailing nwb@bca.org.au. That's nwb@bca.org.au. Or, as I said, you can contact the national office and someone will ring you back and give you the information you need to attend that teleconference. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company this week. Do join us again next week at the same time. But in the meantime, if you'd like to contact Blind Citizens Australia to talk about these AGMs, forums, or anything like that, the phone number is 1-800-033-660. 1-800-033-660. The email address, of course, is bca@bca.org.au. And I'll be back again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.